personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program adapted from the original 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to one member share his or her own personal experience with Step 7 of the addiction recovery program.
I'm Sharon. I'm an addict.
Hey, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
And I'm really grateful to be here. I missed you guys the last couple of weeks. I've always thought the sixth and the seventh step, I always thought the sixth step was clocking off and working from the devil, and the seventh step was working, clocking on to work for our Heavenly Father. And that's the way I've always understood it. And my patriarchal blessing talks a great deal about trials that I will have. And they'll keep coming, and they have. Nonstop, it seems like. And I even, the advantage is, at least with the patriarchal blessing, I have it in writing that this is happening. And then, but it also says some really important things about that with those trials, I have a responsibility to help others and that I'll see miracles. And I think the part about my blessing that touches me the most about that my kids will turn out to be great. And, you know, we've been I think I was really touched with what you had to say, Lindsay, about motherhood. I just came from a parent-teacher conference, and in which my son, excellent. And I started tearing up because it's been a hard road with my kids this year. And I think the wonderful thing about that for me is both of my kids, in spite of all the teachings, I raised my kids in sobriety. And both of my kids made choices to go into addiction for a while, and it about killed me, especially when I made a choice to stay clean and sober, to give him a different life than where I'd come from. And I think the thing that was neat about that is when, as my kids have been struggling with their different issues, that it was kind of cool because my son said to me the other day, "Well, Mom, in spite of all, you've been there for us." And that's true because I know what that felt like, and you can't do anything about it. You know, I can pray. And so I was pretty humble today going, yeah, my experience did pay off. And eventually, you know, both my kids are both clean. My youngest just got 8 months clean and my oldest 6 months clean. And, you know, it's just something they have to go through. That's the problem with addiction. It runs through family. So if it's been in my family for generations, why should my kids be exempt in spite of it all? But, and then myself, I yesterday I had a craving for a cigarette so bad. I mean, and that's the thing. All these people who say that their addictions have been completely relieved for them, at 23 years clean, that has not been my case. I still have physical cravings for cocaine. I still have physical cravings for Bacardi and cigarettes by far. And I haven't smoked in 15 years almost now, and I still have to carry gum with me. And I really think that's what the seventh step's about, is saying, okay, God, I'm having all these cravings, but I'm still doing it your way. And the nice thing is that all these things pass. And when I quit smoking, I sent for some information from the American Lung Society, because the way I quit smoking was through prayer with my kids. We'd come home from church, and my little cute three-year-old, after I smoked for all these years, he comes and he goes, "Mommy, quit smoking." And I just know I couldn't. But I knew God helped me quit drug addiction. I'm sure he could do the same with smoking. And through a prayer with both my sons, they were 3 and 1 at the time, I took out this pack, and I gave my three-year-old half the pack. And there was only 7 left, and he crinkled them, and we crinkled them. And we had a prayer that Mom wouldn't smoke again, and I haven't. And about a little bit after that, my three-year-old went around saying, "Jesus, help my mommy quit smoking. Jesus, help my mommy quit smoking." So I'm really proud of myself in that, in spite of all these stresses that I've had, since I quit smoking and drug addiction, my brother's killed himself. Another brother attempted suicide, and, you know, a divorce that about killed me, loss of girls that I raised. It just seems like always things are hard, but it makes you evaluate, did I really choose God? Did I really choose Him? And if at one point, when I first got sober, my sponsor used to say, if all I did is stay sober today, then I've done 100% today. And I used to think that was so crazy at the time, because I thought, well, I want to do more than be sober. There's a whole life to live. But, you know, some days that's just true. Sometimes at the end of the day, I just stay clean. And to be able, the part of my big patriarchal blessings that talks a great deal about sharing my testimony with others. And I try all at every opportunity I can to let people know that God lives, that Christ is, that He is the solution, and that our physical bodies have all these cravings all the time. But I just know that in spite of it all, when I've chosen my Heavenly Father and when I've chosen the Savior, in spite of all the things that happen, He has always come in the nick of time, and He has made these horrible mountains that it seems like that happen all the time. He's always come in, and He's like, okay, well, are you done with that trial now? Yeah, I'm done. God, please pull me from that one. And then He puts me in another one. But I have not had to drink through all of that, and that is my testimony that I would like to leave tonight, is that there is a Savior. He meant it when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He meant it when He was on the cross. And He saved this woman. He saved me. And He saved my kids. And I watch Him save so many people. But He is the only one that saves. No person, no drug, no drink, no person, place, thing, nothing is going to save you. But when you choose Him, that's the only thing that's 100% sure. That's the only promise we have, is that God's promises never change. And it's just nice that when we give Him a chance, He keeps those promises. And I just am really grateful for that in my life. And I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
The full episode for Step 7 of the Addiction Recovery Program is also available on the Mormon channel.